112. Killian. Like a trio of bloody cowards, the Corrupted had drawn straws to see which one of them should tell Rufina that Agrippa had spirited Malachi away. The woman drew the short straw and hurried off in the company of the soldier who brought the news, leaving Killian with two Corrupted, a set of manacles, and a prison door to contend with. Taking his time wasn't an option. Although thanks to Agrippa, at least time was something he had. In hindsight, Killian realized that it had only been when Rufina was about to kill him that Agrippa had revealed Lydia's presence in the fortress and her true identity. The clever bastard banking that Rufina would be enticed enough by the prospect of turning Killian into her general to spare his life. That Agrippa had thrown Lydia under the cartwheels would still earn the smartass a punch to the face when Killian got out of this mess. But he did have a level of grudging admiration for the ruthless effectiveness of Agrippa's plan, and for his ability to think on his feet. Sitting on the filthy floor, Killian stared back at the two men watching him, shifting restlessly so that they wouldn't notice when he finally took hold of the heel of his boot and extracted the lockpick wedged into the leather. "Do you think Rufina killed the messenger?" he asked. "She doesn't seem the sort to take bad news very well." Mustache spit through the bars. The glob struck the molding straw in front of Killian, giving him a good excuse to jerk farther backward into the shadows. "The queen does not harm the chosen out of hand." "You sure about that?" Killian asked, resting his wrists between his bent knee, slipping the pick into the lock. "Because quite a few of you died in the battle at Alder's Ford."
"That was Agrippa's doing," Mustache snarled. "Not the queen's."
"Ah, Agrippa." One lock came loose, and Killian chuckled to muffle the noise. "I confess, I have trouble keeping track of whose side he's on."
"His own."
Mustache stepped closer to the bars as Killian freed his other wrists, then started on his ankles.
"If you think he's going to take that girl and hand her over to your people, sweet as pie, you don't know him."
His ankles were free.
"He'll probably hide her away and then ransom her back to the Rowanist family for twice what Rufina offered him," Mustache sneered. "So don't go thinking he's on your side, Lord Calorian. He's just using you like he uses everyone else."
"Thanks for the warning," Killian said, giving Mustache a smile right before he struck. One end of the manacle whipped through the air. It passed between the bars, striking Mustache in the face and shattering his nose. The man screamed in pain and fury, fumbling at his side for a weapon, but Killian was already on him. Reaching between the bars, he pulled loose the knife at the man's belt and threw it, the blade punching into the other Corrupted's eye just as the man was leaping to his feet. He wavered, then dropped, but Killian's attention was back on Mustache. As the man recoiled, one hand clutching at his face, Killian caught hold of the front of his shirt and jerked, slamming the Corrupted into the bars, blood splattering him as he looped the manacle around the Corrupted's neck and pulled. Mustache screamed, bracing his arms against the bars and trying to push himself back far enough to get free, but the chain was pressing hard against the base of his skull, crushing his spine. Grinding his teeth with effort, Killian braced his boots against the bars, pulling until, with a loud crack, Mustache's neck snapped. The flames illuminating his eyes went dark, and he slumped against the bars. Drawing in a gasping breath, Killian clambered forward, using the man's sword to slit his throat just in case before digging around in the black leather of his coat for a key to the cell. It wasn't there.
Shit!
Killian dug through his memories of being locked inside, cursing himself for being so rattled about Lydia's capture and identity that he hadn't been paying attention. Who had unlocked the cell? The woman, who was probably lying dead in Rufina's throne room for delivering bad news. Falling to his knees, Killian searched for the lockpick he'd dropped, sweat running in rivulets down his forehead.
"Hurry. You don't have much time."
A wave of prickles ran over his skin, and he looked up from his search to find a pair of burning eyes staring at him.
"A good effort, Lord Calorian," Rufina said, shoving aside the corpses of her men with a booted foot. but not good enough.
Rising to his feet, Killian took a wary backward step, knowing she was a far greater threat than either of the two dead men had been. Not just corrupted, but a warrior.
Where are Agrippa and Baird?
He huffed out a laugh.
A good question.
Wherever they are, I suspect that it's with a chest not nearly heavy enough to be full of gold. Though knowing Agrippa, he probably stuffed in as many handfuls around Malahai as he could fit.
Tell me the route they plan to take to get back to Mutamora.
You obviously plan to get out of here alive to rejoin them, so you must know it.
Part of the plan was that I didn't, he smiled, just in case.
Rufina's jaw tightened, her eyes flaring.
A plan that didn't include Kataria being my prisoner, is my guess.
You aren't the sort to risk the people you love to achieve your ends, though Malahai should be thankful that Agrippa is more ruthless.
Fear churned in his stomach, because although he'd known it would come to this, Killian hadn't realized how swiftly a threat to Lydia would paralyze him. How easily it would make him agree to anything just to ensure her safety.
How long will you stay silent when I start to cut her apart?
Rufina purred.
How long will you stay true to your kingdom and cause when I take her fingers? Her hands? Her pretty green eyes? She smiled. She'll heal, but they won't grow back.
His breath hitched, his stomach twisting in ropes, because he knew he'd crack the moment Rufina put a knife to Lydia's flesh.
What do you want?
Agrippa's root. Malahai might be able to stop the blight.
Shall I fetch her now? No sense tarrying.
Malahai might be able to save tens of thousands of lives. Might be the key to winning the war.
How long do you think it will take for me to make her scream?
Killian took a deep breath.
They...
His words were cut off by the rapid thuds of boots against stone. Then a blur of dark hair and black leather struck Rufina in the side, sending her toppling down the aisle in front of the neighboring cell, the two figures grappling until one came up on top. Pale skin splattered with blood, her spectacles gone, and her hair came loose from its braid. Lydia looked up at him. But instead of the green eyes he loved staring back at him, all he saw was darkness and flame. Panic surged through his veins, but Killian barely had a heartbeat to come to grips with how far she'd fallen before Rufina threw Lydia off, both of them rolling and coming to their feet. Well, well, Rufina drew her sword.
What would your dear, gods-fearing parents say if they could see you now, Kataria?
Don't call me that, Lydia hissed. It's not my name.
But Kataria is the girl Killian is sworn to protect.
Rufina danced forward, swiping playfully at Lydia with her sword.
What do you suppose he thinks of you taking up the corruptor on his offer for power?
Doesn't matter.
Lydia picked up one of the dead men's swords, and Killian cringed even as Rufina laughed, the corrupted queen recognizing what he already knew, that Lydia was no warrior. He had to help her. Falling to his knees in the moldy straw, he searched for the gleam of metal. Rufina was toying with Lydia, like a cat would a mouse, but that wouldn't last.
Where is it?
Your father begged for his life, you know, Rufina purred.
Did the mimics echo his pleas? Did you hear his sobs for mercy as I drained his life? Did you hear him piss himself in the end?
Shut up!
Lydia screamed.
You're a liar.
I'm not,
Rufina laughed.
For all his skill with a blade, Derek was a coward. That's why he took weak, submissive Camilla for a wife. A woman with no family, no history, no name of importance, so that nothing about her would ever challenge him.
And it must have really ground your nerves to know she escaped you.
Except she didn't escape, did she?
Dead in a gutter on the far side of the world is still dead, Kataria.
Don't call me that!
Killian's heart pounded with desperation, knowing Rufina was baiting her. Hearing Lydia's hisses of pain when Rufina's blade found its mark. Hurry. He fumbled bits of straw. Then his fingers brushed against something cold and metal. Triumph flushed through him as he held up the pick. Then he threw himself at the cell door, reaching around to insert the metal into the lock. Focus. But it was impossible when his eyes landed on Lydia. Her stolen disguise sliced open in half a dozen places, blood slicking the leather, and Rufina with not a mark on her. Help her! His hands shook as he struggled to trip the mechanism, his breath coming in ragged little gasps. Click. The lock popped open, and Killian took a step back and then kicked the bars. They swung out with violent force, striking Rufina in the back. She stumbled, and he caught hold of her sword arm and yanked, sending her toppling head first into his cell, her skull cracking against the floor. Close it! He shouted at Lydia. But instead of listening, she tried to go after Rufina. Panic surged through Killian. He threw himself at Lydia, sending her flying across the aisle and into the bars of the cell opposite. Rolling on his back, he struck out with both feet, hitting the swinging door of his cell. It flew shut, the latch activating a heartbeat before Rufina slammed into it. The corrupted queen screamed in fury, flinging herself over and over against the bars. Then she went still, and it felt for all the world to Killian like the corruptor himself stared out of the black pits of her eyes. It doesn't matter if you escape this place, Lord Calorian. With every sacrifice Kitaria made to my master, his hold on her grew. She'll never be free. It's only a matter of time until you have to kill her, or risk her turning on innocence. The only life I want is yours, Lydia hissed, then flung herself at the bars. Rufina only stepped back laughing. Let me loose then, Highness. Let's see who comes out victorious. A dull thunder of boots filled the air, growing louder by the second. Dozens of men, likely with more corrupted among them, racing to the aid of their queen. Too many of them to fight, and Killian couldn't risk Lydia taking more lives. Couldn't risk her descending lower than she already had. He had moments until the soldiers would be upon them. The water dripping from the ceiling splattered him in the face, falling to join the rivulets pouring down the corridor, which meant it was draining somewhere. He dragged Lydia away from Rufina's cell, it taking all of his strength to do so. I need you to come with me. I'm not leaving her alive. We don't have time, Lydia. We need to go. Gripping her hand, he dragged her down the corridor, handing off his lockpick to one of the men in the cells, giving them a chance. Cell doors slammed open behind them, the prisoners racing out and opening other doors. A horde of men and women running toward the stairs and the coming soldiers. Screams split the air, and Killian fought the urge to turn around and fight. But he needed to get Lydia free of this place before he lost her entirely. They skidded in the slime, stopping at the grate over a drain in the floor. Just big enough for a person, though for him, it would be a tight squeeze. We need to get this open. It has to lead to the lake. But Lydia wasn't listening, her gaze on the fleeing prisoners. Lydia, he snapped. Help me. Giving her head a shake, she bent her knees, gripping the grate even as he took hold himself, praying to all the gods their combined strength would be enough. Her hands were pale against the rusty steel, fingers and wrists slender. But as she jerked on the grate, it immediately began to give. The unnatural strength given to her by the consumption of gods knew how many lives. Please let her come back from this. Killian clenched his teeth and pulled, and slowly, the grate ground out of its casement. Setting it aside, he bent to look in the hole, which angled downwards, but there was nothing to see but blackness. She's free. Lydia's breathy whisper caught his attention, and Killian looked back to see the soldier who'd opened Rufina's cell withering in the corrupted queen's grasp as she drained his life to bolster her strength. Lydia took a step in her direction,
and sensing her intent, Killian kicked her feet out from under her. A snarl of fury tore from her lips as she fell into the drain, fingers slipping in the slime as she disappeared from sight. He sensed a surge of motion rushing toward him, every instinct in his body screaming that he should turn and fight. Killian jumped. His shoulders were crushed inward by the walls of the drain tunnel, but the coating of slime and filth did their duty, and he picked up speed. Looking upward, he saw Rufina's shadow crouched over the opening, but she didn't follow. She didn't have to. He shot out of the tunnel and flew through the air, barely sucking in a breath before he plunged beneath the tepid surface of the lake. Kicking hard, Killian swam upward, gasping in a mouthful of air. All around him was mist and darkness, the lake surface still. "Lydia?" he whispered, treading water, listening for any sound of her. She didn't answer, and his heart flipped with the certainty that something had happened, that she was drowning, or worse, that she was already swimming to shore, intent on taking lives. "Lydia!" Then his skin prickled. It was so dark, he couldn't see his hand in front of his own face, and the only smell was the reek of everything draining from the city. But he knew she was there. The water rippled against him, and almost the same moment he saw the faint glow of her eyes, he felt her breath against his cheek. "Why didn't you let me kill her?" The fury in her voice made him want to back away. "Why didn't you kill her? Because we couldn't kill her and get out alive. She murdered my parents, stole every drop of life from my father, and stabbed my mother in the back. And you might have cost me my only chance at vengeance." They didn't have time for this. Already he could hear shouts of alarm from the fortress they'd escaped, which were spreading down to the edge of the lake. "Agrippa told Rufina what he overheard the mimic saying to you." He cast a glance toward shore. "Your mother died to save you, Lydia. Do you think she'd wish for you to die in pursuit of vengeance?" And though he knew it was cruel to say, he added, "Wouldn't that make her death for nothing?" She sucked in a breath, and his skin crawled, warning him that he was treading on dangerous ground. That like this, she might attack, and in the water, he might not be able to fight her off. "Agrippa and Baird didn't betray us. They have Malachi," he said as the alarm bells rang through the city. "But getting her out of Darren will be next to impossible. They need our help. Mutamora needs her, and it needs you. Far more than it needs Rufina dead. You need to fight for the living." "I'm no good to anyone now," she whispered. "I'm corrupt." He'd seen it, knew it. But hearing it from her lips carved out his insides because he couldn't lose her. "Not again. Only if you want to be." She didn't answer. "We need to go," he said. "Need to steal a boat before the beaches are crawling with soldiers." "You should leave me." Her voice was choked. "Go. Get Malachi back to Mutamora. It's what you were meant to do." "What I was meant to do was be with you." Reaching out, he caught her around the waist, drawing her closer. "To never leave your side and to guard your back until one of us ceases to draw breath. You swore that to Malachi. I swore it to you first, even if you weren't there to hear it. Swore it 100 times with you in my heart. And even if I had not, I love you. And if this is where you choose to make your stand, I will be at your side until the bitter end." "I'm not getting you killed, Killian." Her voice cracked on his name. "Go." "No." "Damn it," she snarled. "And damn you and your bloody honor. Curse it all you want. I'm not leaving you." He could feel her thinking, trying to decide what to do. Then she said, "Fine. How do you propose we steal a boat?" Relief flooded him. "First, we need to find one." They swam silently toward the shore, which, judging from the noise, was already crawling with soldiers. "Can you see them?" "Faintly. The fog is obscuring them." Hopefully water would do the same. Squinting toward the bobbing torchlights, Killian examined the dozens of fishing vessels tied up to the docks, a small one catching his eye.
"Can you swim underwater that far?"
he asked, pointing.
"Yes, but the second we climb into that boat, the Corrupted are going to see us, me especially. That's why we're not going to get in. Let's go."
Taking a deep breath, he dived under the water, swimming hard toward the vessel, trusting his sense of direction to keep him on course in the blackness. The brightness of the torches grew, and he flipped on his back, swimming until he saw the boat's shadow overhead. Setting his feet against the ground, he braced his hands against the bottom of the rowboat, then slowly tipped it. His chest grew tight with the need to breathe, but Killian didn't dare move faster. Not when the slightest splash would alert those hunting them. He sensed Lydia next to him, felt the water push locks of her hair against his face as she reached up to help him turn the boat. And then they had it over. Rising into the pocket of air beneath it, he sucked in a deep breath, hearing Lydia do the same. He moved to the front and untied the knot holding the boat to the dock, then whispered, "We'll walk it out as far as we can, then head down the shore a bit before flipping it over."
"This is insane,"
she whispered back, her eyes glowing in the darkness.
"Someone will see us."
His gut told him otherwise.
"Let's go."
Holding onto the edges of the rowboat, they eased it out between its larger neighbors and headed into deeper water, Killian's waterlogged boots catching in the twist of weeds. Only once they reached the drop-off did he turn the boat south, ignoring the temptation to stick his head out from under the water to see if they'd been spotted. Only when he was certain that they were truly hidden by the fog did he slip into the open, but all there was to see was darkness. Even the lights of the city lost to the thick gray mist. The water rippled, and Lydia emerged, her eyes no longer glowing.
"You see anything I don't?"
"Nothing."
Her voice was tight,
strained.
"Let's flip the boat."
Together, they dragged it closer to shore, then eased it over, taking care not to make any noise. Climbing in, Killian untied the oars from where they were fastened and set them in the locks, heading first into deeper water and then south. Lydia didn't speak. Didn't say a single word until the faint glow of the sun lit the horizon, illuminating her face.
"It doesn't last very long."
He knew what she meant without asking.
"Wouldn't serve his purposes if it did. The Corruptor isn't giving you anything, Lydia. He doesn't give anyone anything. Only takes."
"If only that were true."
Her fingers drummed against the edge of the boat, the rhythm frantic and uneven, the motion reminding him of addicts deprived too long of their drug of choice. And it had only been a matter of hours. A matter of hours, and already she was craving more.
"It's his tool for controlling you. He comes out ahead. As if you could possibly understand," she snarled,
twisting in the boat to face him.
"No one ever accuses you of being weak or incapable. No one ever accuses you of being a liability."
She threw his own words in his face, and he flinched.
"You found a cure for the blight, Lydia. That makes you many things, but a liability isn't one of them. What it makes me is something to be used. A tool for others to achieve their ends."
Fury rendered her voice almost unrecognizable, the coming dawn illuminating eyes that remained dark pits into the underworld. He wanted to say that it wasn't her that was speaking, that it was the Corruptor's influences. Except Killian knew that wasn't entirely the case. It was the fear of helplessness that lurked in her heart that was speaking. The same fear that had driven her to want to learn to fight all those long months ago, despite his warning that no amount of skill with the blade would erase it. And now the Corruptor had offered her something she believed would vanquish her fear. Except all it did was bury it. The cost of keeping it from clawing its way up was so very high.
"You sound like Rufina. Perhaps she has the right of it after all."
Lydia leaned toward him, her gaze feral and hungry.
"You should have left when you had the chance. We will both have cause to regret that choice."
Killian kept rowing, but every muscle in his body was tense.
You can control this, Lydia.
I don't think I can.
Her tongue chased over her bottom lip.
I don't think I want to.
I've lost her.
She lunged, and he only just got his foot up in time to knock her back, nearly sending her overboard. But in a heartbeat, she was on her feet, pale fingers reaching for his throat. And he swung. The oar was little more than a blur in the air, connecting with the side of her head with a loud crack. A blow that would have killed anyone else, but it only gained him a few seconds of respite. Dropping to his knees, he used her belt to bind her wrist and strips of fabric to hold her ankles, trussing her tight so that she wouldn't have the leverage to break them. He was gagging her when her eyes flickered open, fury filling her gaze as she realized her state.
I'm sorry for this. You know the last thing I want to do is hurt you,
he said, pushing her hair back from her face, the wet strands tangling in his fingers. But you also know that I don't give up without a fight. And neither did she. With that thought in his mind, Killian glanced at the sun to get his bearings, the weight of all that was to come heavy on his shoulders. But for now, all he could do was keep rowing.